Once again, congratulations to Frank in New Orleans for winning that Nick Folk limited edition all access card provided by Champion.
Not Nick Folk.
That was one pretty wild start to the show. You never know what's going to happen in New Orleans.
Traffic was a little rough, and so I kind of walked up and I was like,
We replaced it.
What's going to be next? And it was interesting. And he gave away some cards and had a football, but didn't give it away. So, hey.
Looking at, we'll go back to some football things now. I know you guys both saw the honor ceremony last night. Unfortunately, it felt like a lot of our Saints contingent, our local contingent, got shut out of any of the awards from last evening, including Jari Evans not being named to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Cam Jordan wasn't nominated as the Man of the Year, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And even Eli Manning, not a first ballot Hall of Famer. A lot of, some surprises last night, I thought.
Yeah. Although I don't know if I, Jeff, you probably, I don't know if I'd call them surprises.
I have feelings. Yeah, I felt like, you know, guards just have a hard time. Interior linemen have a hard time when it comes down to the Hall of Fame in terms of, you know, people are going to supplant you. Like next year, Drew's going to be on this list, and Drew's going to bump a lot of people down. And Eric Allen, he was in his 19th year. It's obviously not a lineman, but he was in his 19th year of eligibility. Some guys, it just takes a while. I did think it was odd that a lot of people were giving Eli Manning the first ballot consideration. Mm. He's never struck me as a first ballot guy. I put him in the same category as a Big Ben in terms of what they've accomplished. I think the difference for Eli is he's so personable, and everyone loves him, and that's helping him out. But that's not going to be what gets you in the Hall of Fame.
But he's going to get in.
He's going to get in. But
that was the difference. You didn't have to put him in. He's going to get in.
The reason Eli's a Hall of Famer isn't even because he won two Super Bowls. It's because of who he beat in those two Super Bowls. Right?
And he was MVP.
If it wasn't Tom Brady, I think we would be talking about those Super Bowls the same way we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger's Super Bowls. And I think they're going to be around the same kind of level of – like Eli's going to get in. He's just not a first ballot. Now, Drew is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Slam dunk.
And the reason I didn't see Eli as a first ballot Hall of Famer is the way his career ended. And you had about 5 years of a guy puttering around, missing the playoffs. And, like, the memories for Eli were too early in his career. Like, Peyton is a first ballot Hall of Famer, was a first ballot Hall of Famer, because his final year in the NFL was a Super Bowl win.
Right. Very few get to go out like that.
But, I mean, that's the difference to me between a first ballot guy and a 3-4 years down the road guy.
So I am not of the school, but I thought it would be cool if they do, if Jari in his next year goes in with Drew.
They're going to split votes, man. Like, I think it's hard for two guys from the same team to get in because, you know, you can only vote, you know, you have to rank them. Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's part of what's happening with Eli. Like, the only three guys really got in this year.
That's what I'm saying. The surprise to me was the four overall, right? And that's the smallest class that I can remember in quite some time.
And, hey, I grew up a Giants fan. I'm as big of an Eli Manning fan as there is. I never thought he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
For me, too, when I saw Drew Brees come out with Steve Gleason to present the award for the Walter Payton
that's
Man
a bummer.
Of the Year,
I think that's a bummer.
I thought for sure Cam was a shoe-in.
He should. I mean, what more can you do?
I said exactly the same thing.
Like,
you know, you're not running for office.
Yeah.
You do what you do, and you've done it since, you know, 12, 13 years.
We talked to him earlier this year. He would estimate that, like, he's been to 200 different school visits over the course of his career.
And he didn't just do it late. And, you know, he's been nominated 3 times.
Yeah.
You know, you just, it's kind of a weird award somehow, if you think about it. You're like, hey, you know, that's not why I do it. And so
I know nothing about Eric Armstead in the community. I'm sure he's great. I'm not taking away from Eric Armstead at all. I just think it's like if you're looking for a Walter Payton Man of the Year, it's like Cam is
like
guy.
I said, it just felt right too. You're in New Orleans, Drew Brees and Steve Gleason presenting the award, and it was definitely one of those jaw-dropping moments where I was like, wait a minute, Cam's not winning?
Why is Cam wearing this teal jersey? What is happening?
Another one, not maybe a surprise, but seeing Coach of the Year going to Kevin O'Connell, I thought maybe Dan Campbell would be a front runner for that.
It's a regular season award, man. Regular season award. We feel a lot different about Kevin O'Connell now than we did in Week 18. Regular season award.
And I he overcame the adversity of losing his starting quarterback as well.
Sam Darnold is why he won
Coach
of the Year. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get more into the Eagles versus Kansas City Chiefs breakdown. NBC Sports Philadelphia analyst Dave Zangaro will join us right after this break. Stay tuned on WWL. We're here at the Convention Center coming to you live from Radio Row. Right back after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Mike Hawes. We're checking in on our virtual treasure chest power seat and joined by Dave Zangaro, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Dave, how's it going, man?
It's going well. It's been a kind of a crazy week, but looking forward to the actual football game on Sunday.
So what's been crazy about it, Dave? Is there a Super Bowl going on or something?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I've been in, been downtown all week, and I got here on Sunday, and it wasn't very crowded, and then you just feel it starting to fill up as the week goes on. It's a fun vibe right now.
The tide comes in.
Exactly, yeah.
You see this matchup coming up on Sunday. Philadelphia Eagles played this team 2 years ago, also in the big game. What do you see different about this squad from the 2 years ago, besides having Saquon Barkley around now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously on offense, that's the biggest change is this team. Not just that Saquon's really good, we knew that, but they've really gone to a run-heavy style of offense. And the amazing thing about them running the football is that they create explosive plays from it, which is not very common, and they stick with the run game, and it seems like in the fourth quarter you're just waiting for Saquon to break one of those off. And it's not just him, it's the offensive line. They've blocked really well for him all year. But honestly, I think the biggest difference from the last time these two teams played is the Eagles defense. I mean, this was the number one defense in the league this year. Now they have Vic Fangio calling the shots, and he's been so good this year, and not just game planning, but also during games, being able to adjust and change things on the fly, whether that's a halftime or between series. I think back to Super Bowl 57, and the Eagles defense just didn't have any answers. They weren't changing anything. They were going out there, and they were just getting worked by Mahomes and the Chiefs in the second half. So I don't think that's happening this time. I think Vic Fangio is going to be able to adjust a little bit better, and I think that's going to be a big difference.
Yeah, Dave, the stat that kind of I saw today that kind of blew my mind, 50-plus yard runs for the Eagles, 2022, zero. Or 2023, zero. 2024, 10 and counting. And I think, you know, you brought it up, and I want to dig a little deeper on this, Saquon and the kind of explosive run play element. You know, I watched him with the Giants for years, and that was basically their offense. Even in games against the Eagles, you know, the Giants couldn't do much, but you could bank on, like, one crazy Saquon run a game. And I guess as you've watched this offense develop throughout the year, I think that's what, when I look at Kellen Moore and say, like, what has he done well, he has adapted what he does as an offensive play caller to what his team does well, because, you know, it wasn't always a run-first kind of scheme with him in Dallas and with the Chargers, but that's what it's been with the Eagles. I'm just curious, you know, what have you seen from that? How have you seen that offense kind of develop around Saquon in that run game all year?
Yeah, well, you think back to early in the season, they weren't running the football like this. In the first four games of the season, Jalen Hurts averaged 33 attempts, passing attempts per game. He hasn't thrown that many passes in a game since. So it's just that they've completely altered the way they operate. And you're right, Kellen Moore deserves a lot of credit for that, because he's sticking with the run game, and Saquon pays him off, right? Like, it works, because eventually Saquon breaks one. There's really only been, like, one game or two games this year where that hasn't paid off and Saquon hasn't broken one. It's really remarkable, actually. And it also gives them the opportunity to run the football when they're losing a game, which is rare in this league. Like, typically when you go down, you have to start throwing the ball to score in a hurry. But with this offense, like, you don't need to do that. You can still run the football. You can still run your offense the way you want to, because you have that big play potential. So it's really been a fascinating run game to watch all year. It's very varied too. It's not just like they're running the same few plays. It's Jeff Stoutland, their offensive coordinator and run game coordinator, their offensive line coach and run game coordinator, has done a really great job this year of varying that running attack, and it's worked wonders.
Dave, Mike Hoss here, and because it's Kansas City, right? Because it's the two-time champ, and I can't feel like Philly's not respect, but if you look at this schedule, and if on December 22nd and that last second loss to Washington, this would be a team that had reeled off 16 straight W's, and I don't think we have really talked about that. I mean, you know, they lost, but that would have been, they since that bye week, what a switch, and to even think that a team would come into this winning 16 straight games and kind of not even being talked about. It's kind of strange, but I feel like they're wearing it kind of the way they want to.
Yeah, and you remember that one game they lost, Jalen Hurts got knocked out of the game with a concussion in the first quarter. So they haven't lost with him at quarterback since before the bye week back in week five. So, yeah, really impressive stuff. On offense, obviously the big switch was, like we talked about, going to that run-heavy offense. On defense, I think they were just really young and they were learning how to play together. In terms of personnel, the biggest change was getting Cooper DeJean on the field, the second-round pick. He's had a really good rookie season, ended up finishing fourth in Defensive Rookie of the Year voting. And second was Quinyon Mitchell, his draft buddy. He's had an excellent year, too. So he had all these young pieces. They were still, like, learning how to play together early in the season. But they've been a fantastic defense. And they're asked to do a lot, too. You know, like, Vic Fangio runs all this zone coverage. And that's really tough. It puts a lot of stress on your defense in terms of communication, especially when they're this young. But these guys have handled it so well.
Dave, both teams fairly healthy heading into this matchup, but how concerned should Eagles fans be the fact that Devonta Smith, I know, is dealing with a hamstring injury all week. I know his status looks like he'll be able to good to go for Sunday, and has been a guy that has just torched Steve Spagnuolo's defense.
Yeah, he's going to play. He's had this hamstring for a couple weeks. Last week in Philly, he didn't practice at all. This week, they kept him limited, but that, from my understanding, it was more about just getting him to this game and making sure he didn't further injure it. So, yeah, he's going to be out there on Sunday, and pretty much everyone's going to be out there. That includes Brandon Graham in year 15, 2.5 months after tearing his triceps. He's listed as questionable, but all signs are pointing to him playing in this game, which will help them on the field, but I also think it's just a really big boost for the entire team getting one of their leaders back out there.
You know, Dave, if you go back, you know, I don't know, 10 months, whatever, to the end of last season and how things ended with this Eagles team that got off to an incredible start for the second year in a row and then kind of fell off a cliff, I think there was some reasonable questions to be asked around Nick Sirianni, and obviously they rebuilt the offense, rebuilt the defense, and a lot changed, and everything kind of rolled in around Saquon and Jalen Hurts and the offense and this great defense. What was different this year? What do you think clicked this year compared to last year and brought this team to, you know, obviously they made the Super Bowl in 22. Well, what's different this time around for this team than last year?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of things. You look back to 23, and I think the pressure of having been to the Super Bowl and losing it really got to them. They were trying to be perfect, and you know they were 10-1 at one point,
right.
But they were winning all these games really close, and they just simply were like they weren't playing as well as they knew they needed to play, and it wore on them. And they were I feel like they were waiting for the collapse to happen last year, and then sure enough, it did. It's kind of amazing because I think their season in 23. Was at least the beginning of it was really similar to the Chiefs this year, that they were like winning all these close games. No one really knew how they were doing it. The difference was the Eagles like kind of collapsed based on that. And the Chiefs were like, you know, we're just going to get to the playoffs and we have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and we're going to probably win these games. I think there's a connection there. And for Nick Sirianni, he's done a great job. It was a big topic last year. The Eagles waited 9 days before announcing that he would return as the head coach. It was legitimately a question of whether or not he would get fired based on the way they collapsed. And instead of firing him, they said, we're going to bring you back, but you need some veteran coordinators. So they go out and get Kellen Moore. They go out and get Vic Fangio. They retool a little bit in the offseason. Howie Roseman did a pretty good job getting Zach Bond and Saquon Barkley, CJ Gardner-Johnson back. They retooled, and now they're here. It's been pretty miraculous.
Can you tell us a little bit about Kellen Moore and just kind of, you know, we're putting the cart ahead of the horse, but we got nobody, we got no choice to put the cart ahead of the horse. Tell me about what kind of person he is and kind of how he is to work with.
Yeah, I mean, he's a nice guy. Not going to give you a lot in press conferences. So if we're in the content business, it's not going to be great for you guys. But yeah, I think he is a respected guy in that building. I'll be honest with you. Like, I think that the offense, in terms of like expectation, kind of underperformed a little bit this year, and that's just looking at all the talent they have. The passing game, there were some questions about it this year, but I don't know how much of that is Kellen Moore and how much of it is, you know, what the quarterback wants, what the head coach wants. It's really been tough to to separate those elements. And, you know, we were trying to play the blame game earlier this year, like trying to figure out why the passing offense wasn't as good as it needed to be. But I have a suspicion that that isn't all on Kellen Moore. Yeah, I think we'll see how good of a head coach he is. I think we're all kind of presuming this is the way that goes with New Orleans. I know his players respect him. I know that he has good offensive ideas. In the one game without Jalen Hurts at the end of the season, it kind of looked more like that Kellen Moore offense that we remember from the Dallas days. He had a backup quarterback in there, and it just, the passing offense looked a little different. So I think you have that to look forward to. In terms of like how he'll be as a head coach, I don't know. I really don't know that answer.
Dave, definitely thank you for the time. Hope you enjoy the game on Sunday. How do you think this one plays out? Does Philly take it home?
I do think the Eagles win this game. And I understand that Mahomes and Andy Reid feel inevitable. And look, the Chiefs have the better quarterback in this game, no question about it. And they have the better head coach in this game. But I look at the rosters 1 through 53, and I just think the Eagles are really much more talented. I think they're the better team. They've proven it to me over the course of the year. Maybe I'm too close to them and not close enough to the Chiefs. But, I'm not picking against them at this point. I think they get it done.
Again, thanks again for the time, and have a great game day, and hope you're enjoying New Orleans.
I am. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, enjoy.
Dave Zangaro, NBC Sports Philadelphia, joining us there on the virtual Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. And yeah, you look at this Philadelphia team, they've been so adept at running the football this season, and you just wish, if Kellen Moore is the guy, we're all figuring that he is, that he could bring along that offensive line with him and maybe the running back too.
Yeah, that'd be good. A package deal.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it better be Kellen Moore, right? I mean, you get to this point and it's not Kellen Moore.
It'd be a massive failure at this point if it wasn't,
It's an optical nightmare if it's not Kellen Moore. Here's the thing, though. I don't think that landing on Darren Rizzi is the worst thing that could happen. Oh. It's just going to be impossible to sell. And what I've been saying this week is like, okay, Kellen Moore is the guy that you can sell to the fans. Darren Rizzi is the guy you can definitely sell to the players, and that's why I land on it's one or the other. Because if you can't sell it to the fans, you better be able to sell it to the players. You better have the stars in that locker room behind the head coach. So yeah, we'll see. Because I don't know, if I'm the Eagles, I've spent all week buttering up Kellen Moore, buttering him up and softening him up, and then like preparing the bag I'm about to drop on top of his head. So, I don't know,
especially,
man.
If Philly comes out in that O-line and Saquon and they just completely dominate the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe not likely, but, I mean, it could happen.
I don't know.
Are you better off if Philly and Kellen win and they take the trophy? You're like, what else can I do?
You're better off if they lose.
Really?
Yes. Because if they win, it'll be all happiness. They'll be drunk in the locker room.
And let's
partying.
Run it back again.
Yeah. And they'll be like, you're coming back, right? And you'll be like, yeah. No, I just think, and if you lose, it's all negative. And you're like, man, I'd rather just go be a head
we
coach.
Could just get another OC, right?
Plus, if they win, there's a parade he'll want to go to.
We'll let him go to the parade. I ain't got a problem with that. We'll fly him back. Come on.
All right.
I'm pretty sure we've talked about this a lot, that the fact the Eagles are practicing there this entire week,
you
think he'd be scoping out his office in the
right.
building.
That's right. You're not allowed to do anything, but here's just to,
if you wanted to work it
how
here.
How about a tour?
Right.
How about a tour? Brand-new cafeteria overlooking the practice field. It's been, I'm just – they're supposed to fly to Philly, obligatory, I think, Monday or Tuesday. But I think by Wednesday, you got to get – we got to get this thing done.
Sure.
So what if – so they can't have contact with him, but can they make one of those, like, things you would pass in class where you use it with your fingers and you open it up and it's a different message?
Do you like me? Yes, that bump.
Yeah. I think – I don't know. Does it – as long as – I guess that's technically a paper trail.
Well, it used to be. It's funny because we had Lee Steinberg on today, and it was always – I have not spoken to anybody. But now, like, we don't even talk about the agents anymore. I don't even know who his agent is, right? Before you would go, I didn't talk to anybody – but it was all done behind the scenes because the agent can talk to him.
Right.
But we don't, it's like we don't kind of do that method as much anymore. At least I haven't heard about it or heard much about it. So.
No, and like you said, nowadays the team will tell us.
Yeah.
We had our virtual interviews. Right. Meanwhile, back in the day, you're parked out on Airline Drive.
Dude, we were hiding in the bushes, and that is not a lie. Hiding in the bushes between the church and the practice field before they realized we were hiding in the bushes, and they were bringing in free agents, and we were trying to shoot who that was, go to the airport, wait to see. I mean, it was old school, baby.
Yeah.
Back when you could go to the gate.
Well, now you got an app that tells you we've completed an interview with so-and-so.
We have done our virtual interview.
Right. Yeah, so. We're here on Sports Talk. You can chime in, too, on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talking text line. It's 504-260-1870. Wrapping things up here at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row, the Memorial Convention Center. It has been a blast, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be right back. So stay tuned right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk at Radio Row. Tomorrow, you can join the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. They're going to be at the Silver Slipper Casino for a big game Saturday second guess, analyzing the big game, sizing up the players, and having a good time. Special edition of second guess with the two Cajuns, Bobby and Mike, at the Silver Slipper Casino tomorrow afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m., or till they're tired of talking right here on WWL.
Never happened.
Never get tired of
Never
talking,
happened.
Right?
Those, never happened.
Those two, like, it's amazing. You can ask them one question, and they'll, like, just banter back and forth, and the next thing you know, 30 minutes have gone by.
Yep.
Looking at this game tomorrow, Sunday, sorry, what are some
Ooh,
of the
you
things?
You frightened me there a little bit.
Like, we know this matchup. We've seen it before, and it's. I feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game in this matchup.
Yeah, the over went down a point. Went from 49.5 to 48.5.
Really? Wow.
I don't buy that for a second. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Every playoff game feels like it's been.
They've all been over.
Yeah. And it hasn't even close.
Right. And the over-under for the last both was about 48.5, right in this area.
Right. And you're talking like the Commanders-Eagles was 80, what, 85? Right. Like, you're not. Like, these games, you can only set the over-under so high. And it seems like a ton of points, but then it's like 25 to 22 at halftime. Like, what? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not a huge gambler, but if I would, I just like betting the over.
I guess
it's just fun.
Maybe folks are concerned because you got the Spags defense and then the Philadelphia's top-ranked D.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like points are going to be put up, though, right? I know it's a Super Bowl and you play it close to your vest, don't make mistakes, but I don't see it with either one of these teams. And we talked about we had a guy on today with DraftKings, and it's like, not to mention, nobody kicks. Fourth down means nothing.
They just go for it forever.
Yeah, there's no
I'm like, take the points. It's a 14-play drive. You got a chance to go for it? Nah, going for it. It's just amazing
but
to
you
me.
Saw, I mean, you see how that impacts, like, you saw the, how the Commanders beat the Lions.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they beat the Lions by converting on fourth down over and over and over and over again. And like, so you're talking about, oh, how do you add value? How do I add percentage points to my win percentage, to my win odds? And it's by forcing them to defend fourth downs and converting them. And here's the thing. If you start a drive inside your 10, you're not going 90 yards a majority of the time.
Right.
So I'm okay with it. I love it.
I do too. And I will say this because we're going to break. Those fourth downs that they converted against Detroit were not easy. They were tight. They were very close. Had to be a perfect pass. They did it. It was impressive.
We're here at the Host Committee Media Center, Radio Row, and the Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. Taking a break for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back. We'll have a bunch more audio coming to you, some of the interviews we did during the week, and also talking to the Chiefs reporter, coming right back after this at the top of the hour news on WWL.